It's time for Squawk Talk, talking business to business. Squawk Talk highlights business and business owners in the Atlanta area. Squawk Talk is brought to you by Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration.
Good afternoon. We're broadcasting live from the Eagle's Nest in the heart of Atlanta. Welcome to Squawk Talk, where we talk business to business. I am your host, Kate Skirmerhorn. Joining me in the studio today is Leanne Russell from Keller Williams Realty.
Afternoon.
Jim Lester from Uncommon Properties.
Glad to be here.
And Kirk, the TV guy.
Hey, glad to be in the house.
Welcome to all my guests. Let's go ahead and get started. Our first guest today is Leanne Russell from Keller Williams Realty, Atlanta Partners. Welcome, Leanne. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about the what you do in the real estate and for Keller Williams and all about what you're doing right now.
I am a licensed real estate agent with Keller Williams, and I focus primarily on residential in Gwinnett, Hall County, and South Forsyth, and specialize with Lake Lanier as well.
Okay, great. And how did you get into the real estate business?
I got into the business in 2005, so going on 8 years, and just like to help others, and this is a large investment, and just thought it was something I'd enjoy doing and enjoyed it ever since.
We hear a lot about the real estate market over the last few years. It's had its share of ups and downs, and you've probably, if you started in 2005, you've experienced a lot of those ups and downs. Tell us a little bit about where the market is today.
The market is great. It is absolutely on fire. We are in a seller's market. The only issues we're having right now is the inventory is extremely low. We are at an all-time low, the lowest we've been in over 2 years. So really, it's just a matter now of the sellers that tried to market their home a year and 2 years ago can probably sell their house now, and getting out there and letting them know that it now's the opportunity and the month supply is down. So it's definitely a seller's market. The negative on it is it's harder to find a house for your buyers because there's just not much to choose from out there anymore.
So your buyers are maybe now starting to compete for homes where they used 2 years ago.
Absolutely, they are. You know, properties are going on the market and going under contract in 4 days, and they're getting multiple offers. So even sellers are selling their house for more than they list it for, just because we're having to go to highest and best because the offers are coming in more than one at a time. So, yeah, definitely competition right now, which is different than it was 2 years ago.
Well, that's really good, and that's also good for our economy. I think a
Absolutely.
Lot of our economy is based on how the real estate market is, or at least a lot of people perceive it to be, and hopefully that's the case. And so that's good to hear that prices are going up. So a home seller who has been thinking about holding thinking about selling their home, and maybe in 2008 they got a little scared when everything dropped. In 2009 they're sitting on it, and they're still thinking about it. Now would be the time that they would want to talk to somebody about selling their house.
Absolutely. Now is the time, you know, call local realtor, find out what the comps are, see what kind of position you're in right now, because there's a good chance you're in a different position than you were a couple years ago. And like you said, prices are going up, and it is great for the economy as well. And as we see new construction, it's nice to see that going on, because I can't tell you how long it's been since I've walked into a new construction home and smelt that smell again. So it's nice to see the builders out there. And, you know, even the builders, they're doing pre-sales now. We haven't heard pre-sale in years.
No.
And, you know, they're selling them before they can even get them out of the ground. So it's definitely a seller's market and a great opportunity to take advantage of that window that we have, because we're not quite sure how long it'll be there, but we're optimistic that it'll be here for a while.
So if you're a seller, then potentially you are also a buyer. In the secondary part, what does a buyer need to do to secure that home if there's such a seller's market out there? What are some tips you can give to those buyers out there?
Tips that I give my buyers is just to go in there with an offer that you feel comfortable with, that if you don't get it, you're going to feel okay with it. You know, you've obviously got a set limit that you want to spend and what you want your mortgage to be, but just go in there comfortable knowing that you made the offer that you know, were comfortable with, and that if you lose it, that it's okay, because there are some hard times where our buyers are losing properties. But just make the best and highest offer that you can, that, you know, you feel comfortable with doing and moving forward with.
Yeah, real estate is such an emotional decision for people.
Yes,
and
it is.
And I'm sure when you're dealing with both either the buyer or the seller, you're dealing with a lot of emotion from both the husband and the wife, and trying to they find that house that they love, and then they can't get it because they've been outbid. And
right.
Do you have any stories where that has happened in recent days or weeks of the market going up, or?
Not really. I mean, really, it's just, once you get the husband and wife on the same track, you're doing pretty good. And, you know, like I said, I try and educate my buyers before we get into that position. Once they come to me and hire me as their realtor, I educate them on that process from the mm-hmm. forefront so that we really don't have to try and get into that emotional state because they're already aware of it. And they have, you know, in their mind that it's possible that, you know, this is highest and best. You may not get it, but let's go in there with, you know, what we feel comfortable with. And, you know, so you just have to educate them from the very forefront and kind of set the expectations of what the market is so that the emotions aren't as high at the end of it.
Sure. Now, do you work mostly with buyers or sellers, or do you have a difference?
I work with sellers and buyers. You know, listings right now are the main thing. We need more listings. So my focus right now is to get listings and bring up more inventory so that we can help those buyers out there that are looking for homes.
Okay. And if somebody were thinking on that edge of thinking about selling their house mm-hmm. and they were looking at agents, there's obviously everybody you talk to says, well, I know a real estate agent. But if you're interviewing agents, as they should, mm-hmm. what kind of questions would be good questions to ask a real estate agent in terms of determining who's going to be the best agent to represent you on either side of the story?
Probably, and this is just, you know, what kind of I think sets me apart. The main thing is how they're going to communicate with you. You know, this is a relationship you're going into. You're selling your house and you're getting an agent to represent you. It's a long-term relationship. So you want to make sure that communication level is there, because there's so many agents that list a house and they never talk to them again. You know, our market, the way it has shifted, is not about putting a sign in the yard and it sells. There's a lot of legwork and back end work on that. So knowing what kind of marketing plan they have, what kind of advertising they're going to be doing. And of course, the most important thing is that they are a realtor, because they uphold certain ethics and, you know, they're protecting the client and, you know, themselves as well. So just making sure they are a licensed realtor.
All right. And so let's spotlight you a little bit. If somebody were coming to you to interview you, what kind of things could you bring to the table in terms of marketing their house and helping that agent, helping that buyer or seller, as mm-hmm. the case may be, to hire you?
Just taking it one step further, you know, I think that with the market shift, we've kind of gone back to the basics of real estate a little bit, and you kind of have to do those personal touches. You know, I think open houses are phenomenal right now. People are out driving around, especially with low inventory. They're getting out more and more, so making sure your house is open. You know, you have to market the homes on every absolute possible internet website there is. Craigslist is huge. Trulia, Zillow, Realtor.com, making sure that every avenue that you can market the home, it is marketed that way. Direct mails in the community, letting them know that the house is on the market and reaching out to the community as well. So just taking it that extra step to sell your house and find the particular buyer. I'm also big on contacting my database and letting them know, because you never know who they may know looking to move into the area as well.
Excellent. And now, you said listings are key in the market these days, because they're selling so fast, you're needing more and more listings.
Right.
What is a good way that that you get out there and try to encourage people to come and bring listings to the table? Is there some marketing techniques that you're using to bring some listings in?
Mm-hmm. For personally myself, mm-hmm. I think the key right now is door knocking. Just go into each communities and letting the sellers know that the media is not really telling us about the inventory right now. You hear it, but not in our local community. So I think the key thing is being out there as the advocate and informing these sellers and homeowners that they have an opportunity to sell their home right now, and taking that personal touch to that level, I think, you know, just sets you apart from different agents.
Now tell me, what is it that you just really love about being a real estate agent? What's the greatest thing about that?
I just like to help people. I mean, it's not every day that you get to go to a closing and see someone purchase their first home or purchase an upgrade because they've got a family and they need to have rooms for kids, or, you know, moving people to the area that's their retirement home. That's just a huge satisfaction to help bring families closer together and, you know, purchase the largest investment of their life.
And are you finding a trend of people buying? Is there a certain price range that's trending right now in terms of homes? Or are you finding people are buying houses that they can bring their parents into, or they're upgrading or downgrading? What seems to be the trend in what people are buying?
It's a little bit of both. You're kind of seeing some taking advantage of the opportunity to upgrade. But definitely that under that 200,000 mark it's going off the shelves very, very quickly. They don't last long at all. And those are where a lot of the highest and best, you know, when you're seeing the multiple offers and, you know, first time home buyers, you know, realizing that we've hit the bottom, it's coming back, and, you know, to purchase a home now, I mean, interest rates are the lowest they've ever been, and who knows when they will go back up. So for first time home buyers, you know, it's definitely a big window for them as well to purchase a home.
And is the foreclosure market playing any effect in the real estate market right now?
Well, in my opinion, I think that's why our inventory is low, because you're seeing the foreclosures definitely go down. I think that the banks have realized it costs them a lot more money to foreclose on a house. So they've kind of stepped back a little bit. So whether they're, you know, being more cooperative with short sales. But yeah, definitely foreclosure inventory is playing into this inventory. And, you know, it'll probably come back. We're not sure how much or how much of an impact that it'll be, but definitely the foreclosure rates have dropped drastically. And you're seeing more of a percentage of traditional sales right now than we've seen in probably over 3 years.
That's excellent news, like I said, for the economy, yeah, and everything. When the traditional sales and the foreclosure market, that helps neighborhoods in general, mm-hmm. with things going up. So that's wonderful. So tell me, if somebody were looking to contact you for service, mm-hmm. and to find more about information about you, how would they go about doing that?
Best way to contact me is my cell phone. That's 678-936-2483.
Okay, and do you have a website that they could go to?
Yes, they can go to leannerussell.com or spotonthelake.com, which is specialized on lake properties all across Georgia.
Okay, and so you're specializing a lot in that North Georgia area, up in the Gwinnett and...
Gwinnett, Hall County, you know, South Forsyth, and then, of course, lake properties, you know, can go up to Dawson County as well as that.
Great. Thank you, Leanne. Thanks, Leanne Russell from Keller Williams. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Our next guest is Jim Lester from Uncommon Properties. Welcome, Jim.
Good to be here.
Glad you're with us today. Tell us a little bit about what Uncommon Properties is all about.
Well, to have two real estate agents on the show on the same day who do so completely a different thing is simply amazing. I deal with low-income properties. We are in the business of buying to rent. That means we buy a house not with the intention of living in it or flipping it, but the intention to rent it. Our motto is doing well, doing good, because we do very well at buying extremely distressed properties, completely renovating them from the roof to the floor, replacing joists as needed, then renting them through housing and urban development housing choice programs.
So truly on the opposite end of where Leanne is, but partnering together in a lot of ways, because there may be some... you're not competing with each other. You're definitely targeting two different markets.
It is two absolutely different markets. My son, who is 28 years old, says that I have the oddest job in the world, because one morning I can be dealing with the absolutely lowest income person that you can imagine, and then that afternoon I go meet with a partner at a large Atlanta law firm who is wanting to invest $100,000. So it's truly dealing with the best and the brightest and the least and the lost.
You mentioned an interesting phrase, doing well and doing good. Expand on that a little bit about what that means to you.
Well, clearly we're in this to make money for ourselves and for our partners. Doing well means providing quality housing for low-income tenants. So when we finish a house, it is truly gorgeous. Some of my houses could easily be in Southern Living. They're that level of fit and finish and detail. We will typically go in and gut a three-bedroom, one-bath house and turn it into either a two-bedroom, two-bath house or a two-bedroom, one-bath house with a very large either living room or dining room kitchen combination. So what we try to do is provide quality housing for low-income tenants and do well doing it.
And as I understand, you try to work with whole neighborhoods of redevelopment. Is that correct?
Well, we have found that it is very effective. We found it is very effective to concentrate on markets where we know. As in any business, you've got to stick to your knitting. So there are three or four neighborhoods around Atlanta that we are slowly buying out the entire neighborhood. Every house that comes on the market, we buy. What that allows us to do is treat the management and maintenance of it more as an apartment complex than somebody who owns 30 houses spread over 10 counties or 15 counties in the entire metro area, and you have to then deal with a different set of subs in every area, because somebody from Conyers typically doesn't want to drive to Northwest Atlanta or vice versa.
So you're really more of a community manager in the areas where you are.
We spend a lot of money fixing up the neighborhoods. We sponsor every year a spring cleanup where we come in and we provide all the materials necessary to get the neighborhood cleaned up. And so, again, we try to do well doing good.
Now, when you rehab a home, you say you like to fix and forget. Tell us a little bit about what that means.
Oh, that is warm and dear, near and dear to my heart. So many investors want to spend as little as possible on the front end. And the old adage of you can pay me now or you can pay me later, as the used car guy will say, is so true in real estate. So when we go in, we don't put lipstick on the pig, so to speak. We skin the pig completely. We typically will go in and rip out walls, take down poorly hung sheetrock, and redo it right the first time. So this house is not only rock solid, but it has new electrical, it has new plumbing and new HVAC, and in about a third of the time, a brand new roof. So everything has been redone. It is, for all practical purposes, a complete renovation.
And are you have crews that are doing all the renovations, or are you bringing in contractors specific to do those kind of renovations for you?
We have a full-time team of five maintenance guys, and they will do all of the sheetrock, the painting, the roofing, and that sort of thing. We only use licensed subs for plumbing, electrical, and HVAC. And, of course, these are licensed professionals who have their own business. We just use the same them over and over and over again.
Very good. Now, you say you've worked with investors, but you say you also don't work, do not work with real estate investors. What's the difference there?
Well, if somebody is a real estate investor, then more than likely they're going down to the courthouse steps every month like we do, and that's their full-time job. My investors are the proverbial doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, successful business person who has money to invest but doesn't have the time. If somebody is a real estate investor and they've got all the subs, then they don't need me. And it's a waste of both of our time to try to work together. But if you're a successful lawyer making low six figures or mid six figures, and you want to buy an entire house yourself, put in $40,000, then I can do that for you, and you'll earn about 15 to 25% return on investment. I have one investor who has now retired, and every month I send him a check for somewhere between $10,000 and $14,000 every month, and the variance is what maintenance we've had to do. So some of my investors are just blissfully happy with me, but if he has a completely different life. He does not deal with real estate. He does not know the tenants' names. He does not want to know the tenants' names. And he is more than happy to pay me because at this price point in the market, he can make a tremendous amount of money. I have other investors who are overseas. I have one that lives in the Middle East, comes in about every 6 months. And we go over the portfolio. I ask him if he wants to go see the properties. And the last three times it's been, no, not really. He just gets the checks. We take it and deposit it into his U.S.-based bank account every month for him.
We're listening to Jim Lester from Uncommon Properties. Jim, tell us a little bit how you got into this business.
I feel like I've always been in this business. I bought my first rental property, which is a duplex, in 1975 when I had just gotten out of graduate school. I didn't buy my first home until 1977 when I moved to Atlanta. I was a technologist most of my life. I was one of the first employees of AltaVista Search, which was the first big internet search engine. By every right, I should be a Google billionaire, but I'm not. And every time I would make a big sale, I would go buy another rental property. So by the time I got to the point that I could no longer force myself to get on an airplane and go deal with a client or give a presentation somewhere, we had a portfolio of paid-off properties that just were cash cows. And it's getting to be a bigger problem tax-wise every year. We just finished taxes, and I told my wife that we have this huge problem. We're making too much money, which means that we got to pay too much taxes. But that's a good problem to have.
Indeed, indeed. So tell us, you're low-income housing in the areas that you're in. The common perception for a lot of people out there is that low-income housing, they're just out there and they don't care about the houses. They're just going to rip them up. So why are we spending all this money? What has been your experience in dealing with your tenants?
Low-income tenants reflective of the whole population. Some of them are the sweetest people that you would ever want to meet. Some of them I would be honored if I was invited over for Thanksgiving dinner. Others are scum, okay? But that's just like if you take 100 people off the street at any suburban shopping mall.
Very true.
Some of them are going to be the nicest people on the planet, and some of them are just waiting for you to put your iPhone down so that they can steal it.
That can be true for someone who makes $300,000 a year.
That's right. So it's a completely normal distribution of humanity, and I tell investors that you've got to treat a tenant like you would an employee. When you make a mistake, you fire early, fire fast. You just, if somebody is misbehaving, the lease has been written and rewritten and rewritten. Everything is monetized, so there never is never a dispute over who shot John. It is, you owe this amount of money, either pay this amount of money, or the Fulton County Marshals will come out and dispossess you after the court has so ordered. And it just makes life very, very simple.
Now, also being in some of the income housing that you're in, maybe you've also seen a fantastic heartwarming success story where you've really felt like you've made an impact on somebody being able to provide them with a renovated home. Do you have a story like that that perhaps you could share?
I have a half dozen or a dozen stories like that.
Let's pick your favorite.
My favorite is a woman who is on Section 8. She has worked over the years for a variety of different she's cleaning lady, but she works in the hospitality industry for big hotels. And she's been through about 3 or 4 hotels. Apparently that's typical. But she is now in her third house. And she rented a house from me. Then her family situation changed. She needed to move. So when she moved out, we went over for the move-out inspection. And I looked at her and I said, you had to have been raised military, because I had never seen a house so clean. I didn't have to do anything to it. She moved into another house. Her neighbor was a bad actor. Let me just politely put it that way. And she wanted to move again. So she said, Mr. Lester, I'm going to stick with you. You take care of me. If anything breaks, you fix it. So let me move you into a third house. And so I've gotten to know this woman. This has gone over about 8 years now. And I won't say that we're friends, but we are very friendly. She is a great tenant. You could take pictures of her house, and you would just think that this was an upscale homeowner. It does not look ratty. It does not look run down. You could do open-heart surgery on her dining room table at a moment's notice without any worry of infection. So she's one of my favorite stories. I have several others like her. And I also will tell, I have on the other end, but we just talked about that.
So if there was an investor out there listening to the show today and they wanted to know a little bit more about Uncommon Properties or how they could contact you and say, this is somebody I would like to invest my money with, how would they go about doing that?
Well, like Leanne, telephone is the best way. This is not a cookie-cutter business. Every deal is different. Every investor has different goals. So rather than sending you to a website, I'd rather you either call me at 404-610-0650, or send me an email, jim@jimlester.com. And let's go from there and have a conversation on what it is you want to do.
Great. Thank you, Jim, for being on the show today. Our next guest is Kurt the TV Guy. Welcome, Kurt.
Hey, Kate. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm great. Now, for our listeners out there, Kurt does have a last name, but he only goes by Kurt the TV Guy, so we're just going to call you Kurt the TV Guy.
Okay.
He's branded himself that way, and I think that's very memorable, so we're going to leave it with that if that works for you.
Sure.
Tell us all about Kurt the TV Guy, what all involves that you do.
Well, what Kurt the TV Guy does is simple. Well, it may be. I'm an authorized satellite and cable retailer, and when we speak of satellite, we speak of DirecTV or Dish Network. There are a number of different satellite that you can purchase, but we mainly focus on Dish and DirecTV. Her cable partners are Comcast and Charter. So what Kirk does is I work for the corporate company as a retailer. And as a retailer, I meet with clients from residents or business and help to set up their service or advise them in a better direction. Because as you know, people are looking to save money for what they are spending.
Always. We're always looking to save money. Sure. Kirk, tell us about the areas that you cover. You cover all of Atlanta. You go down to Valdosta. Tell us where you go.
I cover Metro and the surrounding counties. So I would say maybe 9 to 15 counties.
Okay.
Because we like to keep things in a close proximity where we can get to it if we need to. I don't want to drive all the way close to Florida. Just to, that wouldn't be fun,
right?
I was
being a little facetious there with you. So if somebody is contacting you, they're wanting to install service. Will you install TVs as well, or are you just installing the service? Or tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, entertainment on a whole is TV, which is video, and audio, which is surround sound, pretty much things that we do right here, audio. So, you know, we can put together your TV service along with your audio. But mainly what I focus on is a lot of the marketing and sales. With Comcast, we mainly do their sales. And, you know, they take care of the install. We'll come behind Comcast if there's a problem. If there is an issue with billing, something does not work right, we'll go out there and we'll get it working for them. So, you know, to sum it up, yes, we cover your audio and, you know, your network issues as well, because it's all integrated together.
Sure. How did you get involved in the business, Kirk?
I was raised in Jamaica, always technical. Actually, I work on TVs, not TV, but refrigerator, air condition. So when I came to the U.S., which is about 20 years ago, I always kind of want to do the things that I like to do. I like to help people. I like to sit down with a senior couple and just go through the things that we do. So I thought doing something that I enjoy, that I don't need a lot of people to work with, would be audio video, especially on the consultant side where, you know, you sit down and you show them how to get on their iPod and just make things happen. So that's why I got into business. Just wanted to do something that I can contribute a value to a person.
And you talk about being able to sit down and consult with people. Do you help people with creating custom packages, and how does that work?
Oh, absolutely. When you invite me over, if that's the case, or you can call me over the phone. We do it both ways. We can do over the phone business, or you can say, hey, Kirk, I would like to talk to you. I'll come out to your house. We don't charge you for that. And I'll sit down and open up a number of brochures and tell me what is it that you want. What is it that you're trying to achieve? How much money you're trying to spend? What do you like to watch? And gather that information, then it kind of put me in the right path to direct the best package, best service for you.
Right. What is it that you would say if you were thinking about all the things that you do and your services that you're providing? What is it that you really love doing about what you do, Kirk?
The fact that I get to meet all people from all walks of life. I met very rich folks and I met average folks. And, you know, it comes down to the same thing. They want to see good TV. And it doesn't matter how much money you have. You're still trying to save money. And with the technology is unfolding so fast, people really want to get into it. For example, you know, you have smartphones. We now can have you watch your TV on your smartphone. In fact, you can watch your DVR at home if you have one here while you're on the show. Just look at programs. So there's a lot of technology, and it doesn't cost you any money. So I'm sure a lot of people would love to know how to do that, because we have ways to show you how to do it.
That's fascinating. Who would have thought even just 10 years ago that you'd be able to take your TV and watch it with you on your phone? As if you found in the process of talking with people and consulting with people that you've had maybe husbands and wives who've said, well, I want this package and I want this package, and you kind of find yourself stuck in the middle about what do you do, or is there any kind of story where that's happened for you?
That happened not very often, because, as you know, the packages are mixed in with sports and movie. So, you know, depends on the tier that you go up in the package. You may have more sports or more movie. Or for a couple who just can't decide on what they want, we said, why don't you take everything we offer, run it for 3 months, 4 months, and then you decide if you want to keep it or you want to scale back, because you can. You're not committed to the package you start out with. You can always go up in packages or you can always go down. So that's one of the good things about what we do.
What has been one of the most fun things you've ever dealt with? And maybe this whole the getting people connected to their TV on their phone or whatnot, but you've certainly in the business have seen a lot of changes in technology. Mm-hmm. What's been one of the most fun changes that you've seen in your business?
DVR was one, when they, you know, unleashed the DVR, and then when they also enabled the technology to be on your phone. Because, you know, I personally like to sometime, you know, just tune into what's going on. I mean, I'm taking road trips, like driving 5 hours. I'm able to plug my phone to my ears and listen to news or sports event. And if I need to see it, I can look at it if I'm not driving. So that's one of the fun thing about it. But definitely the technology, it's awesome what we can do with TVs. I can stay here and turn off your TV at home. If
that's a little scary. Church.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot of technology out there.
Do you have any previews of some things that may be coming down the road?
Well,
it's not a trade secret.
Next week, I'm going to be in Las Vegas with DirecTV. So they're talking about a lot of new stuff. To be honest, they don't tell us everything. They kind of surprise us. But right now, we have a new receiver out. It's called Genie. It allows you to record 5 shows at once. And you'll be able to go into 4 rooms and watch the contents. So if you have 4 TV set up, you'll be able to DVR in 4 rooms. That's a good thing about DirecTV. On Dish Network, and they have what we call the Hopper. It allows you to record primetime recording, and that's from 8 to 11 on your network station. Your network station is ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox. You'll be able to record those shows from 8 o'clock to 11. And what's beautiful about that technology is, as you know, people don't like to see commercial, right?
That's right.
So you can push one button with Dish and zip through that commercial.
That does not make a lot of advertisers happy to hear that.
No. In fact, they got sued, but they're working it out in court. But yeah.
Yeah, because they're paying money to have those things advertised, and all of a sudden they're just gone. So do you see changes in that kind of advertising in the market coming because of that?
I think you're going to find text marketing is out there now, email marketing. So, you know, consumers are being targeted different ways. You know, people has product to sell. We have to reach consumers. So the TV is not going anywhere. That's still a good source. But I think they're going to find ways to really get to their consumer. So I don't think... As to how people watching TV right now, it has changed, because I personally don't watch a lot of commercial. You know, you record something because you just want to watch it quickly and get through it. So I'm not sure what's going to happen, but we'll see.
It'll be interesting to see it.
Yeah.
Kurt, describe to us, by the way, we're listening to Kurt, the TV guy. Describe to us what a typical customer looks like for you. Who are some of the people that you target in your business?
Everyone that's watched TV.
Everyone that watches TV.
Old, young. You know, if you watch TV, you're my potential. And if you don't watch TV, you're definitely my potential. So everyone that has the ability to turn on TV with a remote, I love to talk to you, because I believe there is something that Kirk can contribute to you of value.
And if people are wanting to contact Kirk, the TV guy, how would they find some more information about you?
My phone number is a good way, but as you know, people always misplace phone numbers. So this is what you can do. If you Google the TV guy, it will bring me up along with some of those Hollywood guys. Mm-hmm. Scroll down, you'll see Kurt, the TV guy, in that mix. So it's easy.
That's some good SEO marketing you got going on right there.
Well, I didn't know. It just happened that way. I was like, wow, this is good. You know, so KurtTheTVGuy.com or 404-396-8998.
Fantastic. You have been listening today to Squawk Talk, where we talk Business to Business. A special thank you again to my guests for being on the show. Kirk, the TV guy.
Thanks for having me.
Jim Lester from Uncommon Properties. And Leanne Russell from Keller Williams Atlanta Realty. Keller Williams Realty Atlanta Partners. I want to make sure I get that correctly. I'm Kate Skirmerhorn with Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration, taking care of all your floor cleaning and restoration needs. You can listen to this show and other Squawk Talk broadcasts. Go to squawktalk.businessradiox.com. Until the next Squawk Talk, remember, when you're ready to get the job done right, set the eagle in flight.